views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome to Game from LA. We got Pastor Keith in the building as the co-host for today's Tando Radio Show. Today is March the 26th. It's a Tuesday of 2019. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to that. And anytime, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to jump in and jump on board. Definitely would love for you to do that at any time. Give us a call. And we're going to jump into today's live show. And today's live show is the International Body versus One United States, a Crescent Disdain. Basically, the rest of the world is setting it all up to be against the states, which we've talked about before. So that is what today's show is going to be all about. So at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. But before we get into that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt that's there at the home website. Or you can, the most preferable way for you to support this network is by being a member inside of its social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. And all you have to do is become a member for only $24 a year annually. And with that, my friends, you will be able to engage in your social media activities in a more holistic way. You don't have to worry about someone selling your identity. You don't have to worry about, the adverse side of being on social media where people are actually data mining you for information about you and things that are private about you from the standpoint of, you know, Keith, a lot of people think Facebook is free, but it's not, because every time you post there, it's actually a charge. You know, it's a charge. Many people didn't get promotions, jobs, advancement, and everything else because of their social media platform, which otherwise, if they didn't have, they would have had that overall engagement, you know, be it employment or promotion or advancement. So that platform you really have to be very, very particular about, because it's open to the public, everyone to see. You know, and I like to say it's the best place for nosy people. You know, it's the address of nosy people, and so just be careful with that platform. At a BTR Community, you don't have to worry about that. It's a membership. Nice smell, huh, Keith?
What is it?
It's lemon. You don't like it?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's, let me know. If not, I'll cut it off. So what is it? So definitely give us a call. She threw me off. But it is, you know, it's a better way of doing it at BTR Community, and it supports this network for only $24 a year. And you can actually engage in, you know, monetizing it. You can promote yourself, your business, someone else's business. And, you know, on FedBook, you can't really do that. You know, you can't do that the way that you could do that at BTR Community. So definitely come on over and join BTR Community. Definitely need you, want you. Would love to have you, and think that that would be a great, great opportunity for us all. It's the only place where I post stuff, okay? Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint, full-service precious metals dealership. There you can acquire real money in exchange for your currency, as long as you can still do that, but that is going to change in the future. So get ahead of that, okay? So go to Prosperity Mint, and then email them at info@prosperitymint.com. Same that Dave sent you, and then just respond to the overall. Email them, and then leave your number so they can text you a number to call so that they can explain the proper way to acquire the precious metals. Very, very important that you do that in the right way, okay? All right, so let's get into today's show. Keith, anything before we get going?
No, sir.
Here we go. All right, first article from RT International, Trump Golan Heights. Recognition is a move towards further isolation from for the United States. The U.S. move to recognize the Israeli claim to occupy Golan Heights will unlikely result in legal repercussions for Washington, but will further set it apart from the rest of the international community, an analyst told RT International. Huge, huge thing there that's going on there, and that is going to cause a... That is going to be used as one of the many catalysts to move against the United States, the whole world. This is where you're going to have the international nations against the one United States. So as an international body, check out this next article. This kind of plays to that from Strategic Culture. Can Japan join the multipolar revolution, or will U.S. imperialism bring it to heel? And, you know, yesterday, and this article came out today, yesterday I said that, watch, Japan is going to move towards everybody else. Yes, that's the move that's happening. And we've got a picture there with the celebrity figurehead, Prime Minister Abel and Putin together at a meeting. So, yeah, that is going to... I definitely see that as happening and happening relatively soon. Next article from Sputnik News. Trump recognizes recognition of Israeli sovereignty over Golan Heights draws global anger. That was from Sputnik News. Drew global anger. We'll take a look at that. Check out that. Next article from Press TV. Large new blackout strikes Venezuela's capital again. Lights went out across much of Venezuela, including many of the many areas in the capital city on Monday, less than 2 weeks after power was restored following a prolonged blackout. So they continue to have overall blackouts there, and it's going to wear on the people that's there. Oh, my goodness, that's not cool. So check out that article. Next article from the South China Morning Post. China wants to see who blinks first in trade war talk with the U.S. Check out that article. Next article from MarketWatch.com. After donating millions to the school, rapper icon Dr. Dre boasts about his daughter getting into USC all on her own. So, and I just want to say congratulations to Truly and Dre. Great, great job there. And, you know, a lot of people didn't realize what Dre was doing when he and his business partner donated $70 million to USC. It was the smartest move, pretty much, is one of the critical moves that you made. And a lot of people say, well, why didn't he give that to a historically black college? Right, Keith? Mm-hmm. Well, what they didn't know is this. By Dre doing that, guess what he's able to do?
Get more to his work than Black Colors.
Well, no, be more impactful. Here's why, Keith. Is it important for the major universities of the world to become the historically Black colleges of tomorrow? Yes. The only way that that happens is through donations. So by Dr. Dre and his partner donating to USC, he gets to dictate curriculum.
Doesn't that also put money in back in his pocket, a significant amount of money?
Forever.
And that's what I'm saying.
For perpetuity.
And also,
yes. USC will not have to pay him for perpetuity.
Right. So it would allow him to give more to me. Because my thing is, I hear what you're saying about impact.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, from the reading I was doing, at one time, not long ago, HBCUs were awesome institutions for Black people. And they fell off the scale a lot as far as that goes in recent years.
Well, they fell off the scale because of civil rights.
Partly because...
No, that was the main reason why they fell off institutionally.
Right.
Yes.
And it's the same reason why we fell off, because in a way, integration was good, in a way, it wasn't, because
mm-hmm.
we stopped supporting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it happened at HBCUs. But recently, again, studies are showing that graduates from HBCUs are much more prepared for life
mm-hmm.
than the other institutions are.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I hear what you're saying about impact, and that's important.
See, here's why, Keith. The HBCUs, do they need support? Yes, absolutely. Okay. But what happens is that the HBCUs are already teaching, right? What really needs to happen is that there needs to be a magnifier of the overall of the schooling, and that needs to be at the major university level. So you already have the HBCUs. What you need to get is you need to get Purdue, Stanford. You need to get USC. You need to get MIT. You need to get Michigan. You need to get all of the other institutions doing the exact, having the curriculum that the HBCUs have as well. And the only way that you're going to do that, there's only one way that you're going to do that.
Well, you got to have a seat at the table.
You have to have a seat at the table. You have to be able to dictate curriculum. And when Dre and his partner donated to SC, it was the best move for the community. It was the best move for the community because now they're able to establish curriculum that institution will be teaching. That's where you start to have real momentum. It's not it's the best asymmetrical way to do things. You know, it's really, there has to be a fundamental reason why you're doing what you're doing. And Dre was very calculated in that. And I applauded him from the very first, because I knew exactly what he was doing. You know, but I totally agreed with what he was doing because it was a wise move. Now, he gets to dictate curriculum. So, very, very important. So, check out that article. Next article, Keith, this one comes from Reuters. Pompeo urges Moscow to cease unconstructive behavior in Venezuela. What? Celebrity figurehead, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called Russia to cease its unconstructive behavior by supporting Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro during a phone call with his Russian counterpart, the State Department said on Monday. We're going to have to touch this for real. We're really going to have to touch this. This is because this is a pretext to the overall war engagement. Next article from RT International. Pentagon signs off on its first $1 billion for border security, including 57 miles of an 18-foot high wall. The Pentagon has formally greenlighted the transfer of up to $1 billion towards the construction of roads and fences, as well as lighting along the U.S.-Mexican border wall. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. This is huge. Italy officially becomes the first G7 country to join China's Belt and Road Project. Watch, something is going to happen. And I wouldn't be surprised in the form of a terrorist act in Italy in the very near future. Check out that article. The signing of the agreement comes during China's celebrity figurehead president's three-day visit to Italy in an attempt to improve relations with Rome, as China is currently engaging in trade wars with the U.S., with Washington. Check out that article. Next article from Strategic Culture. An Iran-Syrian Belt and Road, a far-reaching geopolitical strategy unfolds. This is global impact right here. Because the country with the oil and the country with the gas are coming together. So, check out that article. Next article from Press TV, Syria. Press TV, Syria. World lambasts U.S. policy shifts as occupied Golan Heights happens. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from RIA. For the average investor, the next bear market will likely be the last. This is, we'll cover this one in on Financial Friday. I would tend to agree with that. I would definitely tend to agree with that. Check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Steve Bannon helps revive the U.S. Cold War era committee to target China. The former White House strategist among founders of a new vision of groups whose past incarnations focused on the Soviet Union, with members saying that China poses the existential and ideological threat to the United States and ideas of freedom. So check this out. You know, Chief, I thought, man, you know, from the seminars and everything else and the classes and everything else, man, I'm constantly talking. And it's shoot, my dad going voice me, it'd be catching up to me. Can't even hold it down. I can't even hold a regular conversation from time to time. So struggling through, but hey, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, I appreciate it, but I'm gonna have to slow my voice down. So check out that article. Next article comes from this one comes from Sputnik News. Gold rises, oil drops amidst speculation of a looming U.S. recession. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Netanyahu hints at new Gaza's invasion amidst the night of crossing, a night of cross border fire. To check out, so they were blasting on each other last night. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. U.S. test missile system Putin once called global threat, in a move that is expected to stir more tensions with Russia. The U.S. military has launched a ground-based missile defense system that Russian President Vladimir Putin once famously said would destroy the strategical balance in the world. So check out that article. Don't think they're going to let it go active. So next article, this one is from Strategic Culture. We're going to kind of pick, I want to pick some of this back up as well. This is from Strategic Culture. Now for a confrontation in space. So that's one of the things that we were talking yesterday. We're going to carry some of that today as well. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. China provides $2 billion loan to Pakistan's ailing economy. So China just gave $2 billion to Pakistan. Check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Beijing promises wider financial access as trade talks enter. time, whatever they say the overall debt is, you multiply it times 14 or 12. There it is right there.
230 trillion.
Yeah. Yep. Check that out. So next, one more article from CNBC. Bond markets says is not only is recession coming, but the Fed will cut interest rates to stop it. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Venezuela confirms the landing of Russian planes in the country. So those are the articles for what's in the news. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. If you would like to get in, we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, I think Sister Davis or our Brother Davis just chimed in real quick. Let me go to them before we get started on in the show. Brother or Sister Davis, are you there?
Hey, David, Sister Davis. I'm not sure. I text my husband to see if he'll get on. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's delivering. But, hey, how's the family?
Okay. Everyone is well. Sister, how about you? How are you?
We're good. We're good. I apologize. I didn't hear the beginning of the show, so I wasn't sure what the topic matter was. But we're getting – I wanted to jump in real quick because we're getting our internet changed and the guy might be coming anytime. So I said, let me get this in because he's going to be here for a little bit. And I probably won't be able to use the phone. But there's a few things I just want to mention real quick. I know I heard you talk about your coughing and you're losing your voice. One good remedy to that, I'm not sure if you can eat pineapples or pineapple juice, but that is a surefire remedy for anything that ails the throat, such as that hoarseness or the scratchiness or severe coughing. And, you know, like we always say, do your research if you like, because you can research it, but pineapples have enzyme in them that really help with...
Go ahead, Sister Davis.
I was just saying that pineapples have an enzyme that helps as a cough suppressant and a soothing, a soother to the throat. And, you know, everybody can on the phone can research it if they like. But it's one of the things that you have to drink is pure pineapple juice. Nothing that's mixed with, you know, apple, banana, strawberry, that mixture. Right. That doesn't seem to work. But 100% pure pineapple juice. And it's actually a really good cough suppressant for children. Because a lot of times when now at schools, they send the kids home if they got a bad cough. Whether or not they're sneezing or sick or whatever, they cough two or three times, like a hacking cough or a bad cough, they send them home. And it's really not a cough issue. It isn't like they're sick. And what normally happens is a parent will then give them something like Robitussin and kind of overdose them on cough syrups. And it's not really a cold type thing. It's more of an irritation. And I'm not saying that Robitussin is bad, but sometimes Robitussin doesn't address the issue. But pure pineapples, you can, what I like to do sometimes is freeze them, the little chunks, and then suck on them. Mm. That also helps. Or you can get dried pineapple, but you got to be careful with dried pineapple because sometimes they put sugar on it. They put sugar on it when they dry it. And so it crystallizes. I mean, that's good, but if people are watching their sugar, you got to watch that. But it's really excellent. And if you just sip on it, you can even sip on it warm, like tea, you know, and it's very, very soothing. Now, it might not have, you drink it today and right away it works, but you got to get the enzyme that's in the pineapple in your system. So I just wanted to say that since you had mentioned that. But I do want to just mention also, I'm not sure if we'll be doing Wise Wednesday tomorrow only because of my husband's, where he, well, you know, he's kind of always at an unusual place, but we are changing our phone carrier so we can pick up. We're going to go back to AT&T. We just got to, well, we got to get this internet in and then it's going to piggyback on the AT&T, so probably by next week we'll probably have that AT&T in place. Because my husband has a fit when he's driving and don't have good reception.
Yeah. And you know what, Sister Davis, I want to thank you for the pineapple because it's one thing that I was aware of that, you know, and then the honey and everything else, but I thank you for it because it does work. Because generally when I go out, I'll grab, first thing I ask for is pineapple juice, if they have real pineapple juice. So that's one thing that that I do, but I didn't even think about freezing the chunks.
Also, with that also being said, like she said, you got to get the enzymes.
Yeah.
That means it cannot be canned.
It can't be canned. Yeah.
It cannot be canned.
Yeah.
Because if it's canned,
the enzymes are killed. Yeah. Because in the process, yeah. So, but I definitely
appreciate it. It's getting a little hard to find right now because a lot of people are doing it. I know I've been talking about it for a couple of years, actually. But pure pineapple juice, some of the places don't have it as readily as they usually do. I always tell people get it when you don't need it because when cold season hits, like we're in now, it's a little hard to find. It's a little hard to find. You can sometimes find it in a freezer case. You know, the kind that you mix with water, you know, you can mix it like that. But, it is a little, it's getting to be a little hard to find. I know when I go looking for it, it's a little difficult. And I try not to get it in cans. They do have those little small dough pineapple juices that are like individual servings, but they are in a can. And whenever you have acids, anything that's acidic, like orange juices and things, tomatoes and things, it kind of reacts to the can, the metal in the can. So, yeah. I mean, it's not the worst case scenario. If you got to do it, that's fine. But try to always buy anything that has acidic, tomato juice, tomato sauces, anything that's acidic, to try to get it in a jar or I hate to say plastic, but that's better than an actual can. So I did also want to mention that, health is, food is going up really bad. It's going to really, you know, I've been watching the news with everything happening in the Midwest and we were truck drivers, man, you know, we were in Nebraska like all the time. And, with that torrential flooding, there's going to be such a domino effect in about the next 3 to 6 months. I was watching one news show that one pig farmer lost 700 head of pigs. So the guy said, the commentator said, well, how many was left? He said 14. So just in the pork industry, it's going to quadruple because these were probably healthy adult pigs that they lost. Probably some of them were pregnant. They probably lost piglets. Not that I'm a big pork eater, but I know some people are. And that's just something to think about. So if the pigs are gone, so are the cattle. Maybe they just didn't do a news commentator of the cattle. But when you travel out west, there's nothing but flat land, fields of wheat, and cattle. So with that being said, since all of that is underwater, everything is going to go up. I watched another news show that said that they're going to have late planting because they were getting ready. Well, in Nebraska, pretty much they don't plant until about, you know, kind of after Mother's Day type thing around that time. But you can understand they're going to be underwater. And the fact that you don't see standing water when you're planting doesn't mean that the water basin and the ground is so high. You might not see standing water, but you still might have to wait another 2 months for the water that you
because
don't
the water
need to
table.
Receive.
Yes.
The water table. So there's going to be such a domino effect if people are not storing food and storing water and storing meat. You need to, because just out of finances, even if you don't think of, doing it for when the grid goes down, and even if they're not thinking about it that way, just thinking about it financially, a slab of bacon might be, you know, $4 a day and $15 in a month. So, I mean, people who are meat eaters, especially, you know, get them freezers together or smokers or, you know, things that you do use to preserve meat. Do that also on the vegetable and fruit end. Everything's going to go up along with all the lumber, all of the building supplies, all of that's going to go up because all of that is in demand with all this ravaging weather going across the country. And of course, we know on this show that it's all manipulated because as long as we're looking at the weather, we're not looking at the politics. You know, we're not looking at all the other little things that are going on. And it's really, you know, to really see the whole scope of everything. And in the next, by the middle of summer and in the fall, as you can see, even in our area, we were so used to almost, we went almost down to under $2 a gallon of gas. And now that's up to, on the low end, $2.25, $2.35, on the high end, $2.50. And I was talking to our son the other last night, and in the Pennsylvania area, it's $2.79. So we got real spoiled with almost less than $2 a gallon of gas. So all the energies are going up. You know, really, people need to tune in to the show, buckle down. You know, what you hear on the show, if you don't believe it, that's fine. Research it for yourself. You will really be delightfully delighted when you see what is said in this show has been proven, because we don't bring it to the show unless we know that we've already researched it. Now, the listening audience might think, oh, well, what are they talking about? Let me Google it, please, or pick up a book or follow, you know, the rabbit hole, whatever you have to do, because this is some serious stuff coming down the pike. For real. So I wanted to add that.
And you know, Sister Davis, that was so true, you know, when you were talking about, it's not this, you know, it's not just preparing for the grid going down or the proverbial teeth hitting the fan. It's not about that. It's really about every day, you know, what's really going on, how that's going to affect. Because, you know, with the hurricanes and then with the different, the floodings and the weather is going to dictate your overall, what you're going to be paying for your staple goods. And as Sister Davis said, you know, the pricing of things is going to go up. And one of the things about that is that they never go back down at the same, with this, at the same, corrective move up that they've taken. They only come back slightly, and they set a new step, and then so now they keep. It's a stair step that keeps going on and on. And Sister Dave is absolutely right. With the bad weather, that is going to affect the availability of meat and produce and everything else, and then that is going to be passed down to everyone else. So you definitely need to be prepared of that, and that's why, you know, when it comes to being prepared, it really doesn't have anything to do with you know, major things. It has to do with everything. You know, it has to do with everything, and it's worth it, believe me. So greatly appreciate Sister Davis. So well said. And, you know, so I know that Keith, that means that you're going to have to go get your swine so that you'll have it when you're ready. I'm just playing with you.
Like I said, just not that. I mean, I'm sure that if, you know, if you think of Nebraska and a lot of the area of the Midwest, it's like perfect. It's absolutely positively flat. One news report said that their river that was normally 5 feet wide is now over 5 miles wide is now over 25 miles wide. And that is devastating. A lot of the people who are in those areas don't even have flood insurance because they don't flood. So that means that their houses are not going to be restored by some, you know, insurance company coming through, because generally when you get insurance on your home, they have a special exclusion for flooding that you got to pay extra for. And most people say, well, I'm not in no flood basin, so I'm not going to, you know, pay that extra couple thousand dollars a year, and they don't take it because, like I said, the river might be 25 miles away. But in this case, their house is underwater. They think, oh, I'm just going to call my insurance company and they're going to write me a check. No, that's not going to happen. So that's why a lot of the lumber, the Lowe's, all those building supplies, they're going up because for them to get materials, it's a domino effect. Everything is going up. So, you know, it's really, I can't even express how damaging it is. And especially for like our young adults that are maybe, you know, 30 and under with their families and kids, they really are kind of clueless. They're on Snapchat and Facebook and, you know, some of, you know, Instagram. And they're not, well, Facebook sometimes, depending on who you have on your Facebook page, can give you some good advice or some good understanding. But Snapchat and Instagram, they're just really not in that media information system to really let these young adults understand you know, I would say if you're 30 and older, you probably put some food back or whatever, but the young ones are just buying sneakers and, you know, flat screen TVs and new cars, and they're just not thinking about it. And, you know, yeah. And just one more thing I want to add, and then I'll kind of pause. I saw on the news this morning with Trump being all upset because of, you know, whatever, you know, I ain't gonna do that. Actually, I don't even call him Trump. I call him number 45. I don't even plagiarize him with his name. But there's the domino effect that I heard this morning is now he's attacking the health care. He is going to totally disable and just crash to the ground the Obamacare or the national care system, whatever they call it. And he said that he's even going to dip into the Medicaid. So in a little bit, he's shutting it all down. And then they said that right now, the Republicans don't even have anything else in place right now. So it isn't like they have another plan that might be a little expensive or whatever. There's nothing even on the table. So once this house of cards dealing with the medical system comes down, one thing that was said that really caught my attention is that he's going to disable that previous pre-existing condition clause. He said he's going to get told. He said that's the first thing he's going to get rid of. So people and everybody who buys healthcare or goes into the healthcare system, unless it's maybe a private entity through your employer, the pre-existing condition, everybody pretty much comes in with either high blood pressure or arthritis or a heart condition when they come into the system. And I'm talking children, too. So, yes. Or any type of cancers. So, you know, that was a real red flag. I don't know if anybody caught it. I don't know if anybody on the Candle Show caught that this morning with the health care, but he is going to take it and throw it in the river that's rised up high. I mean, that's what he said, that he's going to totally dismantle it. And I can understand his anger because he's angry because everybody was, you know, looking in his, with all the stuff we're dealing with, Russia, right. And all of that investigation. So the elite don't have to worry about it. The elite, you know, the wealthy and the elite, they can go and buy health care, $100,000 a year worth of health care. Yes, but no, we as sure. individuals can't. We don't have that. And a lot of people don't understand. You got right now, even the way it is on the books, you have to pay high premiums for health care, then you have to pay high deductibles. So you pay, monthly, you get a health care system, and they want to take out $100 for your family a week for health care. Then when you go to the doctors, you might have a $1,500 or $2,000 deductible before the health care kicks in. So you still got to make your premiums and your deductible. And then after that, they only pay an 80-20 plan. So you got to still pay 20. And 20% could be thousands of dollars depending on your illness. And then the real kicker is that it starts January the 1st and it ends December 31st. So if somebody just say gets a new job in June, their deductible don't start till August because after their 3 months, they're paying premiums that they won't even hit the deductible for till December. And in January, the deductible starts over again.
Got to pay again.
And I know that because I've been in healthcare and I've been in health insurance. I worked at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. So I understand the lingo. And a lot of people don't understand it. They say, well, you know, I went to the hospital and I got this big bill. That big bill is your 20%. Plus, if you haven't met your deductible, you got to pay your deductible plus your 20% before it even kicks in. So, as an informational radio channel, I just feel compelled to really let loose on some of what's coming down the pike. And when I heard that this morning,
and we appreciate it because it's impactful in
in all of our lives in so many different ways. And so it's better to know so that you can, you know, make the proper amends to it. Because, you know, when you think about the healthcare system, it's really the people that have health insurance, they're really those individuals. And I want you to think about this. People with health insurance, they're really in a situation where they can't really afford to get sick, because as Sister Davis was saying, you know, wealthy people, they don't have health insurance. They're self-insured. They're self-insured. Keith was saying that they actually have a health bond, you know, which basically means that they're self-insured. And so being self-insured, there's also, but one of the things that you can do that most people don't do is you can negotiate with the overall hospital or whomever you owe medical bills with, but most people don't do that. You know, they don't do that. So it's, yes, Sister Davis, it's all a part of a trap in a network trap of everything, because it really is. You know, Keith, when we look at the economy, we're really looking at a kind of a sharecropping economy. You know, because you're everything that you're getting paid for, you pay right back to the same institutions that gave you the payment. So it all is all going right back to them. You know, and so it's really a bad cycle.
Well, the system is rigged against the average man. That's bottom line. And it's getting more and more rigged because the upper echelon is gaining more and more power, which turns around.
And they tighten the screws.
Sure. Sure.
And they tighten the screws. And so, very, very true. So
Yeah, absolutely. The pharmaceutical, the medical, the food system, you know, they're all in bed together. They all know that, believe me, those high-powered businessmen, they don't drink the water, they don't eat the food, they don't take the medicine that they shovel in at us, because they know better. Even who was it, Microsoft, the guy from Microsoft, he always said he don't have no computers for his kids. You know, he said, no, we don't allow him in the house. And he's the one, I can't think of his name, it just escapes me, the Microsoft guy. Who?
Bill Gates.
He says, you know, he doesn't allow computers in the house. His kids, his grandkids, you know, he's probably descendants of the descendants. They don't get on any of it. And it's not Erica talking. You can look it up for yourself. He doesn't allow that same system that he has put, you know, a computer in every home. Remember back in, like, I guess the late 80s, his aim was to put a computer, and that was desktops, in every single home. And believe me, he has done it. But guess what? There ain't none in his home. And probably his brothers and sisters and their descendants and family, because he knows the destruction of it. And he says that, you know, quiet as it's kept, he does, you know, for the same system that they put on our table, they don't go to Walmart and buy food. You know, the elite don't have that. They, you know, they have grocery stores and stuff, but, oh, they get food delivered, they get cooks, they have, you know, health, the dietitians that prepare their stuff. That's why some of them do get sick. I'm not going to say any politicians in elite never get sick, but they don't get as sick as fast as we do. Probably none of them getting any vaccines. You know, they you know, they're not in that same line. Well, you mentioned it earlier, Dave, when you went over in the news about the college system. You know, they had a highway to college. You know, and then our young kids, they're putting our highway is to the jail system. You know, they're looking at kids that are in eight years old in third grade. The statistics are showing how many of them are going to grow up and go to college grow up and go to jail. And they're building the jail for them. And the kids are only 8 years old. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you know what, it's so funny, Sister Davis, how this all works, and it all plays into, and for for this to, and it's been happening for so long, and is, and for me, it's really, really important for us to look at things from a broad scale and a broad horizon, so that we can kind of see that, wow, if you look at everything that's been taught, a lot of it's been taught to us for a reason, to actually subjugate us. And, you know, like with today's show, I really want to show you all some of that, and from the standpoint of this whole, the international body versus the U.S., the international body versus the United States. And right now, there's a move, and when you really look at the moves, there are institutional moves that aren't national, that really aren't nationally driven. But the nation state is actually the overall celebrity or the poster child that promotes it. And what do I mean by that? Right now, and there was a very, very important, very, very important article real quick, and I want you all to let me pull it up real quick. And it had to do with the United States acknowledge or saying that the Golan Heights belongs to Israel, is sovereign to Israel. And there's a specific article. Man, it just had it right here. Here it is. And this article is from Sputnik News. Here it is. Trump's recognition. Well, I thought I had it. Okay. Trump's recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights draws global anger. Now, why is it drawing global anger? It's drawing global anger because, in my opinion, the alignment to isolate and neutralize the overall geopolitical and economic and military standing of the so-called United States is the number one objective of the corrupt system that maintains human subjugation throughout the world. Because now from that, they're going to be able to legitimize, through plausible deniability, a world war. And so let me just hit you with this. On March the 25th, yesterday, U.S. celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump signed a proclamation formally recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Who is the United States to
dictate, proclaim?
Well, they said they recognize. You know, so, you know, that's still. But see, the play of that is much more, is far more. A border area annexed from Syria in the 1967 Six-Day War. Trump's decision has been condemned by many countries around the world, including Iran, Syria, Turkey, and Russia. Goes on. The Golan Heights was seized by Israel from Syria during the Six-Day War in 1967. In 2018, the UN General Assembly adopted a resolution urging Israel to immediately withdraw its forces from the area of the country, organize local elections in the area on October the 30th. And so they had a little Twitter here of celebrity figurehead Trump meeting with Netanyahu and delivering the remarks. And the article goes on. International rejections of Trump's Golan Heights declaration. Washington. The rejection of by leaders, the United States allies and partner nations the rejection by leaders, United States allies and partners, of President Donald Trump's recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights came as a disappointment to the U.S. officials. The U.S. State Department, Secretary Mike Pompeo, told reporters on Monday, "I'm saddened, but not surprised." Papineau said that that while recalling a similar reaction to Washington's decisions to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Quote, I remember the move to Jerusalem from our embassy as well. In each case, we were simply recognizing the facts on the ground and the reality and are doing the right thing. We hope the nations will join us. You hear what he said? We hope the nations will join us. They ain't going to join you. It's much different than Russia annexing Crimea.
Well, I think at this point in time, Dave, it's probably irrelevant. And I think at this point in time, no matter what the United States says about anything, all the countries going to reject it.
Yes, Keith. And that's... And how do you stir that type of pot? How do you create that type of emotional reaction? Well, you have the perfect situation brewing in the Middle East because of the vital importance and the strategic importance of that area to the overall economic and global energy factor because of the resources that are there. And the hostilities that are there. It's the perfect playground to get your objective met of being able to depopulate and subjugate the world in a much stronger hand. And like you said, Keith, it really doesn't matter anymore. We're going to continue to see these things, and what they're going to bring about is exactly what the objectives really are, what the methods are going to bring about the objective. So let me just finish reading this. Massive rallies held across Syria over Trump's decision on the Golan Heights reports. Thousands of Syrians almost across the whole country are participating on Tuesday today in rallies against the U.S. celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump's decisions to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, the Syrian Arab News Agency reported. Massive rallies have beginning to organize in the central square of Damascus and other big cities, according to outlets. Early in the day, the media outlets reported a mass protest in the southern city of Dara. Hundreds of thousands of locals took to the streets holding banners and chanting slogans in support of the status of the Golan Heights as the Syrian territory. Now, this was annexed during the 1967 war, the Six-Day War. And this is, remember, Syria is growing in military influence and power. Why? Because they have the overall backing of who? Russia. And China, right, Keith. But Russia. And they're aligning themselves with Iran. What is that offering? That's what it's already pretty much have, but it's encompassing all of Israel. But the key thing about it is forcing the alliance to where energy can be shut off to the whole, if you really think about it, a significant amount of energy can be turned off to the world. And the political stronghold of that is that if a country is not your ally, you don't have to send them oil. So what is that going to do to countries like Germany and France? And they're going to say, well, you know what? You know, it's a business decision. We're going to go with Iran. Where have you seen that before? When they killed the nuclear deal with Iran. What did Germany say? Nah, U.S., you're on your own on this one. We're going with Iran.
We're going for it.
We're going for it. And who else did that? India. In many, many countries, they still were going to continue to buy, and they still are buying. Yeah, Britain did. They're still going to be buying Iranian oil. They're still going to be buying Venezuelan oil. They're still going to isolate the U.S., and this is growing. It goes on. There were a lot of other countries. And just let me give you a rundown of the countries that actually started to push back on this. So Saudi Arabia reportedly denounces U.S. recognition of the Golan Heights as an Israeli territory. Riyadh denounces the U.S. recognition of the Golan Heights as an Israeli territory. Saudi Arabia has condemned the Trump administration's recognition of the Golan Heights as an Israeli territory. You want to start this war off real, real quick, you do something just like this. Then there's also Turkey has rejected. The Arab League rejected the U.S. recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. So there is a major, and you know what? Also, you can basically say Germany and France, they may not come out with a statement, but they're definitely going to be against it. Russia is going to be against it. China is going to be against it. Everyone's going to be, India is going to be against it. So,
it reminds me of back when President Obama was the president.
Hold on, Keith. We got to go to a commercial break. When we come right back, we'll get right to you. Keith, you always like to jump in at the commercial break. You're listening to the Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, give me 2 minutes. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Malcolm, what is your purpose here?
Well, my purpose here is to remind the African heads of state that there are 22 million of us in America who are also of African descent, and to remind them also that we are the victims of America's colonialism or American imperialism, and that our problem is not an American problem, it's a human problem. It's not a Negro problem, it's a problem of humanity. It's not a problem of civil rights, but a problem of human rights.
And what do you hope for from this conference?
Well, we hope to bring pressure upon them, or rather we hope to impress upon them the importance of their bringing pressure and world opinion upon the United States to take some meaningful effort to solve our problem in America. We want them to help us get our problem before the United Nations and charge America with violating our human rights in the same way that South Africa is charged with violating the human rights of our people in that area.
And what sort of reaction have you been getting from the African leaders?
Well, I've gotten a good reaction, a very sympathetic reaction, and an understanding reaction. Many of them have been misinformed by the American government into thinking that black people in America don't identify with Africa, and therefore they've restrained themselves from voicing their interest in our problem. But I've impressed upon them that our problem is their problem, as well as their problems are our problems.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. All right, so what we're going to do real quick is that there's Keith, you were saying something before we went to the commercial break. I'm sorry, commercial break, you seem to always jump in at the commercial break. I wanted to give you that chance to jump back into that.
It reminds me of a scenario when Barack Obama became president,
mm-hmm.
and all the Republicans got together, and they said, whatever this president attempts to do, mm-hmm. we're going to block it. And it seems like it's a very similar situation with the United States right now. You know, the countries are at the point where they say, you know what, no matter what the United States has to say,
yeah.
we ain't going for it.
Yeah, Keith.
Hey,
it's real.
I don't know if I understand. I don't know if I understand Keith correctly, but the Republicans was doing that just because, just to oppose something. He could have came up with the best policy ideals that was going to benefit the most people, you know, and they still would have been against it just politically, you know, just because that's what they do. Same thing with the Democrats. I feel like Trump could propose something good and they would be against it simply because of partisan politics in this country. Now, for all the things that Barack Obama during his administration that went wrong or they took a wrong stance on, he absolutely was on the right side of international law in calling out Israel for its continuing to expand settlements on territory that don't belong to them. Occupied territory that they gained through the Six-Day War. Okay, and they continue to allow only Jewish people, not black Jews, but them Ashkenazi Jews are the only ones allowed to move on to that stolen property. Kind of reminds you of the United States, don't it, in its expansion towards the West. But, you know, Barack Obama did have the intestinal fortitude to say, look, no. This is in violation of international law. You know, you can't do this. Now, he didn't do anything more than talk, okay? He didn't withhold any aid to him. He didn't propose any sanctions. He, you know, he just gave him a stern talking to. And, of course, they ignored that. But in this case, though, I feel like the rest of the nations is just siding with international law. I mean, this is a no-brainer case. That's not your property. That's not your land. Right. That's Syrian. That's part of Syria. And you and like you said, Dave, who is the United States to be saying, oh, we're going to recognize that stolen land as belonging to Israel, you know? And the rest of, including some quote-unquote U.S. allies, ain't having it.
Yeah, and that's so true, Scotty. And that was exactly, you know, because Barack was right when in that stance that he took against, and that's why Netanyahu hated the dude. That's why he hated the dude. So, I think did you have something?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page, Scotty.
Yeah, that's yeah.
My thing was whether Barack Obama did something right or not. You know, whether the United
That's what
States
they do.
Does something right or not, I think we're pretty much at the stage where the world is going to reject it.
But now they're going to take that stance because I think that they have a full understanding of what the real objective is of the United States. They may try these piecemeal things, but they'll accept them, but they know that it's coming with concessions that are really malevolent. And like you said, Keith, they're taking a stand as to this. The United States is looked at now as a pariah nation globally, in my opinion.
I agree.
It's looked at, and it's going to be looked upon as a rogue nation that needs, and a criminal nation that needs to be brought, needs to be neutralized.
Hey, Dave,
and that's
thing,
where this next thing is coming, the neutralization. Yeah,
I think the world has long looked at the United States as a pariah, yeah. And they just weren't in a position to do anything about it, or they weren't going
right,
to say
it.
Anything about it because they were dependent yeah. upon the United States. And, yeah. you know, that's kind of changed.
That's more accurate. Yeah, that's more accurate. That's what it is. You know, it's a matter of they weren't able to mitigate. And they weren't able to be sovereign and stand on their own and sustain. But now things have changed globally. And then now is a move, I think, towards the neutralization of the United States. And this is as, you know, everyone should be on this side. No, you actually took that territory by war. And It's not your land, but they continue to develop and trying to say, no, we're going to take it and we're going to keep it. And so this is why that area right now is the perfect place to have a multifaceted push for war, all out war, because the economies have to have it now. If you really think about it, the economies have to have it, Keith. And so, and I just want to give you another example. As Scotty said, all of these nations should should be opposed to this. And they are, the UN and the rest of the sea. Now you're starting to see the more and more of the world versus the U.S. It's not even against Israel. Now this is all of this is going to be focused towards the U.S. And the military engagement, Keith, thank you. The military engagement is going to be where now I think that there is going to be military moves against the U.S. And everything is being set up that way. And just to give some indication of that, there was another article that we put here, and it was the last, well, it wasn't the last article. Let me go back up. It is the last article, but the one that I wanted to look at is a Reuters article. And in this Reuters article, dated yesterday, Keith, March the 25th, U.S. calls Russia deployment of planes to Venezuela reckless escalation. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's just stop right there. Venezuela has allies. And one of their allies happens to be who? Russia. Some of their other allies happen to be China and others. India, Cuba. So who are you to tell somebody who they could have as allies? How about all of the military bases and military installations you have throughout the world? With not a few planes, with squadrons of planes, with nukes, with troops,
you know,
thousands of troops.
We talked about the other day that Germany was kicking out the United States.
Yeah.
And their reasoning was exactly what you were saying. They were in there telling Germany how much they need to increase their military spending, who they need to spend
their military
with.
They're an occupying force. Right.
Right. And it's the same thing. Who are you to tell us, country, that spends more than the next 10 nations combined on your military, how we have to spend ours?
Right. And you know, but just think about this. Keith, think about this. U.S. calls Russian deployment of planes to Venezuela as reckless escalation. What is NATO? It's a reckless escalation. Because you try to use NATO to encompass the Russians, but now they done turned NATO against you, where NATO's now going to turn their arms towards you. France and Germany are already in the works of combining their militaries. Why would they combine their militaries when they're already in NATO? That means that they're doing something different. That means they're not going to be a part of NATO and that overall mission.
And they announced that quite a while ago.
Yep.
They said that we can no longer rely on you.
Yep, yep.
What is our alternative?
Because they realize that you're now the primary enemy. And so now we need to have a military to be able to
protect ourselves.
Protect that interest. Yes. So now, here it is. Check this out. The U.S. on Monday accused Russia of reckless escalations of the situation in Venezuela by deploying military planes and personnel to the crisis-stricken South American nation that Washington has hit with crippling sanctions. No, reckless escalation is the sanctions that you put on them and the overall hitman tactics that you've done to their economy, for their economy to go through hyperinflation, the cyber attack that you engaged in hitting their overall power grid system, and the coup, and the pawn of a coup that you placed inside of their overall country. What are those? And what is Russia going to do? Of course, they're going to defend their interests, and so they're going to send their capable means because they know. And you know what really happened? Remember when John Bolden, Chief, and listeners, remember when John Bolden had the overall notebook thing where he had the 5,000 troops and everything else, and say that they're going to Venezuela. Well, let me deploying them to no. They said deploying them to Colombia, basically for Venezuela. See, this shows a whole lot. Bolden knew exactly what he was doing. That was a how could I put this? That was a drunken man's solution to a problem. That was an inebriated man's or inebriated person's or a drunken person's solution to a problem. So they basically were doing this, Keith. Well, we got a problem in South America because they're drunk. What should we do? Oh, I got a great idea. Put on the pad that we're going to send troops. Ah, they'll believe. See, they purposely did that, but the rest of the world didn't buy it. They didn't buy it. Because they didn't buy it because they're not scared of your military anymore. They're not scared of your sanctions anymore because your sanctions can be circumvented. And so what did he do? Stand there, you know, and just hold that pad up like he made a mistake. No, he knew exactly what was being done. So what did the Russians do? They did the appropriate thing. It allowed them to do what? Say, hey, you better not invade. We're not going to have another Libya, and we're not going to have you toppling the Maduro presidency in Venezuela. So what are they going to do? We have interests there, so we're going to go and protect our interests, right? So the U.S. has actually sent military installations, established military installations to colonize through imperialistic tactics and to have a forward ground of deployed troops to be able to bully and threaten countries into paying their taxes to them. And what is their taxes? The petrodollar and the reserve currency status. That's a tax. Because you got to pay that first. You got to pay that first. So they said saying of sending a few planes there was an escalation. Well, what you really going to do when they start sending admitted nukes and expanding the overall footprint of the military? You're not going to be able to do anything. So, article goes on. The Russian planes and military personnel arrived outside of the Venezuelan capital of Caracas on Saturday. According to local media reports, 2 months after the Donald Trump administration disavowed President Nicolas Maduro, Washington has recognized opposition leader Juan Guaido as the country's legitimate president and demand that Maduro leave power. Who are you to... which Russia has described as the U.S.-backed coup against the socialist government. Now, let me stop there real quick. Juan Guaido, I don't think the young man realizes he's about to get played. I don't think that he realizes that he's in a situation that he can't win. Because Maduro has already won in Venezuela. Maduro has actually, because of what has been happening there, Maduro is now silently and covertly getting international and global support.
I don't know how silent that is.
Well, what I mean by silently, they're being supported from nations that have actually probably came out and said, no, we want elections in Venezuela. Let Maduro run. basically the so-called allies of the U.S. have actually said one thing, but what are they doing? They're supporting them. They're supporting Venezuela in an indirect way. Do you really think that Russia, Keith, would send S-300 weapon systems? Remember, the U.S. and Israel got so upset with the S-300 system that was deployed to Syria. Now, over this weekend, they sent S-300 systems and technical advisors there now. So why is the U.S., what would that do to the U.S.? The U.S. does not want the S-300 system in Venezuela because the S-300 system is going to be the system that is going to allow Russia and China to bring in what? All forms of military aid now. Because the S-300 system is going to be able to, and it's going to be much more defined in Venezuela than it is in Syria. I think that the use of it is going to be much more expansive there than it is in Syria because of the strategic importance of its geographical strategic importance. So the S-300 system is going to be fully engaged, and I do, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's only being manned by Russian military, active Russian military, to optimize its overall efficiency. So they basically are establishing a no-fly zone, Keith, in Venezuela. That no-fly zone now, it also extends, if you really think about, because of the effectiveness of the S-300 system, depending on how much they put there, how many they're going to be putting there, that no-fly zone is going to cover strategical important areas in Venezuela, but where else? Colombia. That S-300 system, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not, is going to be also the S-400 and 500. Now that's going to extend that overall no-fly zone even further. So what is that going to lead the U.S. only to be able to do? Here comes the war.
Okay, so here's my struggle, and it's been my struggle for years, not only on this level, but on the previous level. What I mean by that is when I was in the workforce, and as you guys know, I was in law enforcement, and I could never understand that the majority of the people that I worked with, them being who they were, they consistently and constantly voted away from what was best for them. Mm-hmm. The things that they were concerned about, as far as their pensions, as far as a lot of these things go, they consistently voted against.
Right.
Because they belong to the group that they belong to.
Right.
Made no sense.
Right.
I couldn't understand it then, and I don't understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have to start looking at the powers that be aren't who they say they are. Because we are on a march to devastation.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But the thing is, our leaders are taking steps not to avoid the devastation, but they're going from a slow trot
to an all-out sprint.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to ask yourself, what is the motivation between your Bolton and all these guys? What is their true motivation?
Sure. Bolton, Abrams.
All of
Pompano.
Them.
Celebrity figurehead Trump. Yeah, Keith, and it's big because Venezuela, the significance of that is that with this S-300 system, and I believe they'll put S-400, maybe 500 down in Venezuela because of its strategic importance, it's going to leave the U.S. with one option. You know what that one option, in my opinion, is militarily, Keith? naval blockade.
Who?
It's going to
lead, who put forth the naval blockade?
This is going to lead to where the U.S. is going to have to employ a naval blockade. Reason being is because they will not be able to, I'm going to go to Brother Davis in a second, they will not be able to have air superiority because of the S-300, S-400, 500 system that will be in Venezuela. So that means that they're going to have to be able to try to control the territory from a distance. And what does Venezuela do? It exports what? Oil. So you have a naval blockade so that oil can't leave.
Which we're incapable of sustaining.
Incapable of enforcing, right, Chief. And that is going to cause for a naval blockade of the U.S.
Which goes back to the point that I'm saying.
Yep.
Look, here we are, just
go to Brother Davis after you.
Sitting around here, right? And we can figure this stuff out. This stuff isn't rocket science.
But
you've got these guys that are, you know, live their lives in the study of warfare and politics. And again, instead of going from ways to deter the situation that we're inevitably heading, they're telling their troops to go into a sprint.
Yeah, and it's really, really, it's so significant. Now, what opened this whole thing up is, remember, Trump said that the military option is still there. Well, if you got a military option there, that means that Russia and China is now going to deploy defensive measures. Then they're going to bring in the offensive measures. And this is where things start to get very, very trigger happy and very fragile. So let me go to Brother Davis. Wanted to chime in. Let me go to Brother Davis before we go to the commercial break. Brother Davis, what's going on? Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Through my research, and I'm about to shock y'all, through my research, I have found that there are a lot of white people who do not agree with us going back into another war. One.
Oh, yeah.
Two, some have even bought up the concept of why they're called white. Now, if y'all know anything about the Bacon Movement, y'all should begin to realize if those numbers begin to rise, that can change the whole dynamic domestically also. Because, see, you have to understand now, there's a hashtag called something, colonizing death. That's a hashtag that's been placed on white people. And a lot of them don't like it. So it was examined, why that? Because everywhere they go, they kill and destroy. And now they're looking at this on a global scale. I told y'all before that we are watching the dismantlement of an old system. When the very people who benefited by that system starts to reevaluate the standard that is set for them, they begin to see themselves differently because they don't like the hashtag. Now, let's look at it from the war perspective. If the United States sets up a blockade, literally, they'll be given the whole, all of the South Americas a right to tap in to the BRICS, which is the altar of NATO. Now, see, we fail to realize that at this stage of the game, the magnitude of a decision like that by so many countries represented under the standard of South America will totally imbalance whatever respect anybody has for America. Because, see, that's like your neighbor leaving because they can't stand living beside you. There's a whole lot of things going on here. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you get back to the show, but this is really turning out to be a whole lot more involving than we're looking at it from our perspective, because we're looking at it from the angle of what is America about to do. And when we look at what they already did, you can understand how they got here. But this is quite a quagmire, because literally, why put up a blockade when you know they're going to blow your ships out the water? Think about that. It's going to be interesting, my brothers and sisters. It's very interesting. And listen for that hashtag, because I'm going to tell you, more white people are starting to say, you know what, I don't want to be affiliated with white. And if, for those of you who don't know, white people was a title given to white Americans after the Bacon Rebellion in order to cause separation. I really want to go into a lot more. It's more entailed than that, but that's just a synopsis. But in reality, that synopsis that gravitated a lot of the white people to that title are now the same one pushing them away. I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you, Brother Davis. You know, well said. And, you know, and like Brother Davis was saying, you know, that overall naval blockade, because really the S-300 and 400 system, because of where Venezuela sits in South America, you know, with to its left, Colombia, and then Central America right there. To have a naval blockade of Venezuela means that you have to have a naval blockade, ready, Keith? In the Panama Canal. You got to have a naval blockade in the Panama Canal. And currently, the administrators of the Panama Canal is China. The predominant influence in the Panama Canal is China. And the thing about a naval blockade there in Venezuela would really bring about a blockade of the U.S. Because if the Panama Canal is not functioning or slow, guess what it's going to do to the overall prices of here before everything goes awry? It's going to have an impact on every single person's purse here with food. And then let alone, here's the big kicker. The price of everything is going to go exponentially higher because the insurance for cargo transfer is going to hit the overall, the Baltic Dry Index is going to explode. Because there'll be no ships that want to go through that overall territory, those territorial waters, with what? With so much in a hostile zone where you have Russian submarines, U.S. subs, Chinese subs. Their insurance will say, you know what? No, we're not going to go in. So this thing is really leading to an all-out assault on the everyday person's quality of life and standard of living here in such a dramatic way.
Well, it goes back to, and it's something you didn't say, but which is also obvious, because you're talking about the fact of the matter is how food is going to get sky high because of insurance. Bump that. These countries are going to sanction us.
Yeah, exactly.
And sanction them. And it's going to cut all that off anyway.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. Because they're not going to want that overall, because they're going to have a problem with their overall centralized economy.
Sure.
And when that happens, this is where you're going to see more and more of them start to take a side, and they're not going to take the U.S. side.
They can't.
The they absolutely can't take the U.S. side, and they won't be able to afford it. So think about a naval blockade, okay? It would have to encompass all ingressing to Venezuela, all import and out exports, because Venezuela exports what? Oil. In which direction does oil from Venezuela go? And who does it go to? It goes to diverse parts of the world. So it's going in different directions. And if you're going to do, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying what I anticipate that they're going to do. To encompass Venezuela in a naval blockade is not like Japan, when they had the naval blockade of Japan and then Japan finally had to attack. Because when they did the naval blockade with Japan, they prevented stuff from coming in that was critical for Japan. You know what that main thing was? Was oil. Because Japan is an island with no resources. This is why they have nuclear power plants everywhere, because they don't have any oil. This is why they contest so much for the South Sea of China, because of the oil reserves that are there. Japan actually needs it to maintain their sovereignty and not be a colonized state. Do you think Japan really wants to continue to be a colony of the U.S.? Of course not.
It does.
So, in order to do a naval blockade of Venezuela, you got to shut the Panama Canal off on both sides. That means you're going to impact Mexico. That means you're going to impact all of Central America. You're going to impact the northern part of South America. And you're going to devastate the U.S. economy. Absolutely devastate.
Well, like you said, there's no way in sin that China is going to allow you to shut down the Panama Canal, you know, which is imperative in world trade today.
Critical. Keep you have some numbers of that impact?
I don't. Not often.
It's significant. So, in seeing that, so let me just, real quick, check this out. Let me go back to this article, okay? So, in this article, over the weekend, Russia sent in a couple of planes. They sent in a cargo plane, okay? Now, the cargo plane that they sent in could carry 35 tons of equipment. This plane is huge. I've actually seen it on multiple times. This plane is huge, Keith. I actually seen it in Southern California at an airport that it was landed, that the Russians actually, the Russian military had landed two of them in Southern California. At the Ontario Airport in Southern California. Took a picture of them. These planes are huge. These cargo planes are huge. So, for those of you that listen to us, that remember when we were on Blackonomics, and at that time I actually talked about it and I shared it that overall at that time. So now these planes, and so what is said is that these planes brought in military advisors. Well, let's just go over this. The United States condemns Russia's deployment of military aircraft and personnel to Caracas, which is another contradiction of both Nicolas Maduro and Russia calling for a non-intervention in Venezuela as reckless escalation of the situation, the State Department spokesman said. The vice president of Venezuela's Social Party confirmed two planes had flown to the country from Russia, but did not give a reason or say they were carrying troops. The planes from Russia landed in Venezuela because they were authorized by the only government that there is in Venezuela, called the government of Nicolas Maduro. The Kremlin declined to comment on the planes on Tuesdays or the accusations of the State Department. The State Department told his Russian counterparts in a phone call yesterday on Monday that Washington would not stand idly by as Russia-backed Maduro, who was overseen a dramatic collapse of a once blissfully economy. And they're the ones that's doing it. But here's the key, that they're not going to stand idly by. However, Pompano did not say what the United States would do in response to the troops. So let's guess what some of the things that they're going to do. One, I said ultimately a naval blockade. Two, they're going to continue to use what they've been using. They're going to black it out. Remember, today, there's more blackouts in Venezuela. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to hit Venezuela with another cyber attack. Here's the problem with that, Keith. The dynamics of that has totally changed. The dynamics of that have totally changed now is because now Russia will have a very sophisticated weapon system that is going to be in country. So if you do a cyber attack against that, that's an attack against that system now. Not only is it an attack against that system, it's an attack against the infrastructure, because that overall cyber attack could also be also a part of a malware technology to be able to try to disable the S-300 system, not only there, but everywhere. Do you think Russia is going to allow that to happen with the position that they now have militarily over the U.S.? This is how the cyber attack is going to be the initiation of war, of the overall cyber war, which will be World War III, GNW1. So they said they're not going to idly stand by. So what have they been doing? So what are they going to do even more? So now you're going to send troops to Colombia? You're going to expand the overall military advisement pools to Colombia with equipment that they've been gathering and training troops to try to engage in an all-out confrontation and coup in Venezuela? What do you think the Russians are going to do? The Russians are already signaled what they're doing. They're now sending in the overall means to defend Venezuela. The key to defending Venezuela is to push, Keith. This is the key to defending Venezuela is to push Colombia out. That's the key to defending Venezuela. They're going to need Colombia to switch or be militarily, have a military confrontation with them. I mean, you know, it's one of these situations. Keith, you remember when your sister, well, I won't say, well, when you're one of your brothers, I'll say your brothers, because I know your sisters, they're sweethearts. Well, no, Keith, I'm one of your old girlfriends, Keith. One of your old girlfriends, you know, back in 1910. Go back. You remember the old girlfriend back in 1910, Keith. Remember when she was a troublemaker and always pick fights with dudes and then come run to you to have the fight, and then every.
No, that was some of my partners in law enforcement.
And then they create a fight that you knew you would have never picked on your own or have an interest in getting in, and they pick the fight with the wrong person. You know I can't beat them. And then they push you into it. That's where Colombia's in that position right now. Think about it.
That's also where Israel is.
But Colombia, yeah, Israel is there too, majorly. But Colombia is really, really there. Because you picking fights with the Russians and the Chinese, I can't beat them. So what is the natural thing that Colombia is ultimately going to have to do? Right. This ain't in our best interest. because this is what's going to happen to Colombia. If we engage in the war with the U.S., and when they lose, we're going to lose too. We're going to lose everything first. But as the overall momentum grows in South America when the footprint of Russia and China footprints increases in South America, if we get on board with that, when it's all said and done, we'll be sitting pretty. We'll become a part of an economic trade zone with Venezuela, with Panama, because who's Colombia bordered by? Venezuela and Panama. So Colombia is now in a bad situation. Is when your bad mouth girlfriend picks fights with the muscle bound dude that you know you can't beat, but then he or she picks fights with about six of them and tells you that, listen, I'm gonna push you in there. Don't worry, I got your back. That just ain't enough. This dynamic is really going to be testing, and believe me, I see now Colombia by these moves is going to be pressed to do something drastic, and it's not what the U.S. is probably prepared for.
What is the U.S. prepared for?
Yes. Throwing other people into the fire. But that old policy worked before. It don't work now when countries can defend themselves. Colombia is then going to be in a situation where they're going to make a phone call to Maduro and say, hey, buddy, I know we were all, you know, enemies before, but, you know, we basically speak the same language, need the same things. We're bordering countries. Let's end this. Let's go back to the good old days when there was no outside influence and interference that was actually instigating our fight. And guess when they call Maduro, guess what they're going to hear?
Sure.
They're going to hear Vladimir Putin say, okay. They're going to hear Putin say, okay. So, But the bad thing about this is that it's going to move the Navy. Remember when the Navy reactivated that fleet? And I wasn't quite sure, but now I have an idea with that fleet, so why they reactivated that fleet. Because one of that fleet's job is going to be to probably do a naval blockade in Venezuela. Boy, you should have left them decommissioned. And I just see this as, now you see why there's such a push to momentumize every single person of age in this country that is young to be ready to lay down the ultimate sacrifice for their country, because they're going to give you the altar to lay on. And your blood will be appreciated. Rich man's war with poor man's blood. So this the unfoldings of these events, excuse me, I'm so sorry. The unfoldings of these events are pretty much telling everything. And now, this isn't a Cuban Missile Crisis going on here. Cuba was much different than the situation with Venezuela because of size, scope, and dynamics and the effect. Cuba, you can actually do a naval blockade.
Sure.
Because it's small.
And the access is only has to come from pretty much one direction.
And the access, and then the volume of the access. And it's not critical. See, Cuba was easy because Cuba had to import everything. They weren't exporting anything outside of, you know, things that can be carried in the luggage bag, such as cigars. But you're talking about Venezuela, that sits on the largest oil reserves in the world. Is not an island, and it's attached to a critical corridor for trade globally, and it is it's trading a global commodity that's needed. Whew, man, this is the drafting of your daughters. So I just wanted to, time has gone by so fast, and continue to watch these things, and because this is going to continue to grow into much, much more. And these are the things that I think are critical for us to know when we look at the scope and dynamics of it all. So without further ado, everyone, I just want to thank you all, Brother and Sister Davis, for calling in and sharing what you share. Pastor Keith, for you co-hosting. In between your playing your what you playing now, Keith? So are you playing chess?
I'm looking up information for the show.
Oh, I'm looking up information, my man Keith. So I just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And I mean, so I never say goodbye because we're eternal. There's never really a reason to say goodbye. We live forever. As always, I'll see you later. So. Much love, much respect, and before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Great Creator willing. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.